Glory, glory, glory. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, let me look at you. You look great this afternoon. Ah, gee, thank you. Well, you know, I was delayed because I needed to dig out in the Word and see if it said anything about women being in ministry. Wanted to have something to say, you know. And then it was suggested to me about the woman minister who put a tent peg through a man's head. And I was told her name was Peggy. Hallelujah. But you know, I want to clarify the office of a woman. See, the office of the woman is that one office that's little known about. And, you know, like Pastor Lee was saying, there's the office of the apostle, who also has that evangelistic anointing, but not every evangelist is an apostle. And then every prophet prophesies, but not everyone that prophesies is a prophet. Every pastor teaches, but not every teacher is a pastor. And every woman is called to be a woman, but not everyone's called to be a woman. And I'm finished. Yeah. Glory to God. That's probably about as funny as I'll get this afternoon. I don't know that I can recall ever preaching on this particular subject. I've desired to do a conference on it, and Lord hadn't released me to do that, but I've learned some things along the way, and I've got some valuable nuggets that I just want to minister to you and get those to you. And if you're a woman that's called to ministry, and if you will follow what I share with you this afternoon, then you're going to be just fine. You're going to fulfill your call, and you're going to be all that God has called you to be. Bill and I, from time to time, in the very beginning, and it would catch us off guard, we'd be sitting down with other people and they'd say, well, what's it like for the woman to be the pastor, and I pastor Grace Fellowship of Louisville, and for the man not to be. And it would catch us off guard because we don't think like that. We just don't think that way. We're very comfortable in our roles. Bill's called as a businessman, and he's very good at it, very prosperous at it. I'm called as a pastor, and we're comfortable in our roles. I tell you, I don't believe you could find a man that is more supportive of a woman in the role of a pastor as my husband is. I mean, he stands beside me. He stands behind me. He supports me. And in fact, he saw the call of a pastor on my life before I did. He would begin to tell me, you know, you're going to be a pastor. And I'd laugh. And I'd say, no. I said, I have no desire to be a pastor. I said, you know, I'm going to travel and I'll preach, but I says I won't pastor. That just seemed like the most awful job anyone could ever have. Looking at those same faces week after week. Not everyone listening to you and doing what you're teaching them. And then lo and behold, God called me as a pastor, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I love it. You know, before that, my grandmother, Grandmother Vermillion on my dad's side, she was a co-pastor and a minister. Now, she was raised in Church of God. Later in her years, she and Grandpa got into the charismatic realm, listened to Brother Copeland. Gloria Copeland was teaching what they were teaching. They were instrumental in, like, they worked in Oral Roberts tent meetings. They brought William Branham up to Toledo to minister there. Had those associations with A.A. Allen. A lot of cool stuff. But Grandma was Grandma. She still had a lot of Church of God. I mean, she still had the buns and the no makeup and the, you know, the buns. Make sure you know what kind of buns I'm talking about. Behind the head. Sure, she had the others too, but I just didn't pay any attention. She was Grandma. She wore a dress all the time and heels. And, you know, I thought, preacher women are really ugly. I mean, I loved grandma, but they just were a little strange. And so I just never had a desire to be a preacher. But I tell you, I love it. I love my life. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And set your eyes on verse 27. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I like the way Weymouth says that one verse. It says, in him the distinctions between Jew and Gentile, slave and free, man, male, and female, let me say that again, slave and free man, male and female, disappear. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And I, you know, a lot of times I have women that want to come and talk to me that are called into the ministry. And they'll say, I want to talk to you because you're a woman. And they have this feeling that they're a special case. And you need to understand, women, we're not a special case. Now, some may think otherwise on some of us, but we're not a special case. There is neither male nor female. And if we approach the ministry, well, because I am a woman, I am a special case. I either have more anointing or I have special needs, then we're going to approach the ministry all wrong. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as far as the things of the kingdom of God, you never stop being a lady. You never stop being feminine. But as far as ministry is concerned, and as far as your life of faith in the kingdom of God, there is no difference between male and female. Amen. We are all on the standing on the same ground with the same responsibilities, with the same advantages, with the same privileges. It's all even ground. Can you say glory? There was a time earlier on that when just started pastoring, and I called Pastor Philip and I said, Pastor Philip, can I have Elaine Homer's phone number? And didn't tell him why. And I just had this thought, you know, I wasn't walking out anything. I wasn't under any kind of oppression. But I thought, I just need to talk to a woman. I bet she would just have something she could impart to me that no one else could, especially not these men, you know. And I never did make that call. God called me out on that. And he said, Sherry, he says, you have the best teacher that there is. And that was my apostle, my pastor, my spiritual father right there. And he says, the same training that the guys are getting is all the training that you need. That he knows how to train you up to be the minister that you're to be. So there's no special cases. You don't need a woman's view on it. Amen. You know, you just need who's your pastor, who's your leaders, and you stay underneath that covering and you listen to what they're teaching you and you follow what they say. Amen. You know, it's been such a privilege to me. Number one, I know that I have the best spiritual father in all the world, and that's Apostle Callahan. Bill and I have been with him now for 25, 26 years. And everything that we know, everything that we're doing, we have learned from this man. And I've had the privilege to grow up with these brothers and just grow up right alongside of them, serve with them, work with them. And I tell you, I'm so thankful for them to be in my life. I trust them with my life. Amen. And this is an eternal thing. So God places you in these covenants. He places you in these relationships that are going to train you up and bring you up in what God has for you. Women are joint heirs. Say joint heirs. You know that scripture doesn't say that men are joint heirs with Christ. We are all joint heirs with Christ. So whatever is in the Lord Jesus Christ's account is in the women's account too. Amen? And in Romans chapter 8, go there with me, please. And set your eyes on verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. How many chooses to be led by the Spirit of God? There's a few hands up. Not everyone's hands went up. Let me try that again. Amen. How many in here choose to be led by the Spirit of God? And if you choose to be led by the Spirit of God, women, then you are sons of God. Hallelujah. That's not taken away from the fact that we're ladies. But we have all the privileges of firstborn sons because we choose to be Spirit-led. So whatever privilege a firstborn son has in their life of faith, the promises of God, whatever privileges a firstborn son has in the ministry, whatever privileges the firstborn son has in anointing, in blessing, in resources, you and I have that privilege as sons of God. Hallelujah. Say, I am a son of God. Glory to God. Women are the just. Now, he says four times in the word that the just shall live by faith. Amen? See, this isn't going to get real deep this afternoon. I'm going to go over things that I know you know. But we're going to apply this to women in ministry. And every one of us, if we are born again this morning, then we are the just. And we are the just that live by faith. So women of God, as the just, the word works for us just like it works for any man. All we got to do is work it. If we will put that word in our mouth, put that word in our heart, and put corresponding action to it, then the word will work for us. Your healing is not dependent upon your husband. Your prosperity is not dependent upon your husband. Your ministry is not dependent upon your husband. Now, you're going to see here in a little bit, I'm not calling you out and raising you up to be rebellious women, but I'm here to tell you that your ministry, the call on your life, the giftings in your life is dependent upon your faith in the Word of God. And when we work the word the way we're taught to work the word, then our faith will work and we will see our ministries be everything that God has called them to be. Can you say glory? Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We live by faith. It works for us. You and I, we're not lacking in anything. Hear this. We're not lacking in anything and we're not more gifted than anyone else. We don't require a special anointing because we're women. Don't tell Mama Jean that now. Some have this thing that they think because we're women, we need a more special anointing. No, you just need to be anointed. We're not lacking anything, but we're not more special. If we will just work this word, do what this word says, then we will walk in the anointing of God. And whatever God has called you to do, whether he's called you to be a prophet, an evangelist, an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, whatever motivational gifting he's placed down on the inside of you, all it has to do with is your faith in the word. You don't need a special anointing to fulfill those offices. You do not need a special anointing to fulfill those giftings. All you got to do is believe the word of God. Talk like it's true. Act like it's true. Follow the instruction of God and your ministry will come forth just the way God intended for your ministry to come forth. Do I have any called woman in the house this afternoon? Hallelujah. There's no exceptions to the rule. Let me say that again. There's no exceptions to the rule. Honey, this is no harder for you as a woman unless you believe it's harder. If you believe it's harder to fulfill your ministry because you're a woman, then it will be. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But it's no harder for a woman to fulfill the call on her life than it is for a man. The word works the same for us all. Praise God. We're not exempt from a prayer life. We're not exempt from a word life. Before I ever had a thought of ministry, I knew that being a mom and a wife did not exempt me from a prayer life and word life. Man, I was telling women that before I knew anything about a call. Women would use the excuse, well, I got babies and I got toddlers and I got little ones, so I can't really pray like I'm supposed to. I can't get in the word like I'm supposed to. No, you better pray. And you better be in the word. Amen? Because it takes faith and it takes the anointing to be the mother that you're called to be and to be the wife that you're called to be. And you are not exempt from the prayer life or the word life that is required of you. And let me tell you this. As a woman called into the ministry or as a man called into the ministry, you're required, you have a greater requirement in your prayer life and in your word life. When I first started out, I just thought I was so spiritual. Because, yeah, I pray and do pray 3 hours every day. And I was in the Word 3 hours, and I'm in the Word 3 hours every day. And I just couldn't understand why not everyone in the body of Christ was like that. But I had a call in my life. That requires a greater prayer life. It requires a greater word life. And I see that across the board in ministers. So being a mother and a wife didn't exempt me from the prayer life and the word life that was and is required as a minister. Amen? Can you say grace? We're still called as disciples. Being women, we're still called as disciples. Disciples being a disciplined life. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we have this idea, not you all, I'm preaching to the choir right now, but if we have little ones running around, then our life is just haywire and we have no control over it. No, you're a disciple. So you're to have discipline in your life. And that discipline starts in the house. You structure your day. You structure your lifestyle, and you include in that structure your prayer life and your word life so that you can be developed in relationship, be developed in anointing, be developed in the revelation of the word, be developed in faith, in which is going to be required of you in order for you to fulfill your ministry. Amen? So you got to walk in the wisdom of God. God's got your structured day for you. I got to stay here. I wasn't going to stay in this time, but I got to stay here for a minute. God's got your structured day for you. He knows when your prayer time is. He knows when your word time is. He knows what your children are supposed to be doing at certain times of the day. He knows when their nap time is supposed to be. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? And so your day is not to be jerked around because you're a mom. You're a disciple. And you develop discipline in your life right where you're at. And that will put you in the position that you need to be in to have the word life and the prayer life that is required of you to fulfill the call of God on your life. All you have to do is hear and obey. Amen? And when you get a word from God, when you hear the instruction from God, oh, it seems impossible. How can I do that? I've got four little ones running around. How can I do that? I've got this demand. I've got that demand. Honey, aunt, when you hear a word from God, you now got grace, which is God's ability to accomplish what you need to accomplish. You just step into it by faith, knowing it will do what it's supposed to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And then you learn to cheat in some things, like my kids would come home from school and they'd say, Mom, you're supposed to bake cookies for school. And they have to be homemade, Mom. They have to be. As I go to the bakery, We'd get the ones that look real homemade. And I'd get a plate out, and I'd put them on them, and I'd say, here, Mom, they're going to love them. You all look, I didn't tell them to lie, and I didn't lie to the kids. You try my cookies, you wouldn't want them. My grandbabies talked me into making a homemade pumpkin pie. Yeah, oh, wow. My hairdresser advised me to get a backup one. I'm glad I listened. Because we went to eat the pumpkin pie and it still had strings coming out of it. Vincent says, Grandma, the next time you got to make it orange. It's not supposed to be yellow. Hallelujah. Yeah, buddy. So we're not exempt from a prayer life or a word life. We're called to be disciplined ones. We are to work out our own salvation. Amen? Every one of us. Let me just, on this discipline thing. When you and I stand before Jesus, Bill's not going to be standing with me. My children aren't going to be standing with me. I'm not going to be able to stand there and say, God, you know, I wanted to accomplish that, but my husband. Or God, I wanted to accomplish that, but my children. No, I got to stand before him and make account for what he's told me to do as an individual. And he does not call you to do anything that he doesn't grace you for. You know, I find here in these days, I just keep getting busier and busier. And just when I think it's going to just calm down and not be so busy, God adds more to it. And this is how the kingdom is, man. I tell you, things are accelerating. Greater doors are opening up, and we need all hands on deck. And if you've got a call on your life, and I'm here to tell you, every one of you are called. You may not have a call to the fivefold ministry, but you are called. And we need all hands on deck. I tell you, we are living in the time where we are going to see the greatest harvest of souls. Say souls. That's more than getting them born again. That's getting them to prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. And so we need you. And there's no excuses. There's no exemptions. For whatever God has called you to do, he will give you grace. And the lovely thing is the more he tells you to do, the more grace he gives. And it becomes more and more evident that it's not you. It's the grace of God. That's what makes it so supernatural. Hallelujah. It's good news, isn't it? Praise God. When you're called into the ministry, you're still a mom. When you step into ministry, you don't lay down being a mother. You're still a mom. Go with me to Psalms 113. And verse 9, he maketh the barren woman to keep house. We fulfilled that. And to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. There's no exception when you're in ministry. You're still called to be a joyful, say joyful, a joyful mother. That means depending on their age, you still enjoy getting up and giving them breakfast. There comes a time when they're old enough to serve their own breakfast. Billy needed to be nudged into that, but that you still are tutoring them. You're still encouraging them. You're still teaching them in the things of God. You still go to their soccer games. You still go to their track meets. You still go to their football games. Amen? Now, I understand it may, you know, if they had a game on Thursday night, well, I couldn't make it. I was preaching that night. But I participated in my children's sports to the best that I could, which was quite a bit. Now, Sarah, she played football one game. Now, I was a soccer mom. I was a track meet mom. And then she had this one time a year football game. And I said, Sarah, I got there. I was excited. She was going to play football. Sarah's not a sports person. And she was backing off. She said, I'm not going to go play. I said, you have to. This is my one time in your whole life. I get to cheer you while you play a sport. But we get involved in their lives. Amen. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 8, he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You still nurture your children. You still encourage your children. You still bring up your children. Like I said, you attend their ball games. If it doesn't fall on a service night, you go to their talent shows. Your children need to know that they can depend on you. Your children need to know that they're very important to you. Your children need to know that they have your attention. You don't get so spiritual and so caught up that you can't talk Barbies with your little girl. That you can't talk soccer with your little boy. I lost some of you women on Barbies. Get over it. I couldn't wait to give Barbies to Paigey. I gave them to her when she was 2 years old. Of course, chewed up their feet and tore up their hair, but but you still let them know that you're interested in them. Yes, you teach them and you bring them up in the things of God, but being in the ministry does not exempt you from having fun and enjoying your children and teaching your children and bringing them up. And listen, sure, things change when they become adults, but you don't check out of their life when they become adults. I have found that when they launch into adulthood for the first time and are making decisions on their own for the first time, they got to have somebody to fall back on. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Amen. And you are to be present for your children. Being a woman in ministry does not exempt you from being a mom. Amen. Being a woman in ministry, you're still a wife. Go with me to Ephesians 5. Verse 22. As his wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And all the men say, whoa. Chicken. My husband amens those real well in our service. I'll tell you, I get on something like that, and he's the biggest amener in the whole place. Look with me at 1 Peter 3. And verse 1, it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wife, that the way she talks, but also how she carries herself. And look with me down at verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. First of all, it says to submit your husband to your husband as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. If we have any situations in here where you have a husband who is an unbelieving husband, you submit to him as long as it lines up with the Word of God. Now, he's the head of the house. But, honey, if the Word says tithe and then you tithe. No, not his check. That's, he has to work out his own salvation. Amen? But any increase you see coming into your life, you tithe. If the Word says so, and then you sow. Not out of your husband's check, but God's promise that he'll give you seed to the sower. If the Word says to have a word life and a prayer life, and then you have a word life and a prayer life. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that word life and prayer life consumes the whole day or your every moment that your husband's home. You don't use the word in prayer as an excuse to avoid your unbelieving husband. Amen? In fact, we're going to see here in a minute that your walk with God should enhance you and make you a better wife to your husband. Hallelujah. And so, and you know, when God shows you who your pastor is, I don't care what your husband says, you stay with your pastor. Jeremiah 3:15 says that he will give you a pastor after his heart. So the submission is unto the Lord. So when it comes to the things of God and what God has told you to do, you submit to God. Amen? But as long as what your husband is saying agrees with the Word of God, or it has to do with your household, it has to do with your life with one another, you submit to your husband. We're not rebellious Jezebel women. Amen? You know, Pastor Jack talked about religion in the church where women preachers are concerned. And I told you in the beginning that when it came to people would ask Bill and I, what's it like for the woman to be the pastor and for him not to be, and that would take us by surprise. I lived for the longest time and still pretty much in this bubble. Well, I didn't run into that. You know, everyone that God had put in my life has just fed into my life, encouraged me, supported me, and I never really ran into that. Now, here lately, though, I'll tell you what. I got this guy out west. I have no idea who he is. But I get regular emails from him, and he lets me know the evils of women pastors. And then I get one from Florida. I don't know where these are coming from. They send me periodically emails about the evils of women pastors. Most times it's men. Yeah, but then I got a woman that made sure I got the message that I was operating under a spirit of Jezebel because I'm a woman pastor. Hallelujah. But honey, when it comes to being wives, we do not manipulate our husbands. We do not rebel against them. We do not Jezebel them. We are submitted wives. But that doesn't mean that you compromise your walk with God to appease the man. Amen? Now, praise God for all of us who've got believing husbands. Hallelujah. And see, in ordering your steps like that in the Word of God, being uncompromised in your walk with God, being uncompromised in the call of God, and walking in the love of God towards your husband, if he's an unbelieving husband, that is going to bring him into the kingdom of God. It's your covenant right. God has promised you that your husband is marked by your walk with God and that he can be sanctified by your walk. All you got to do is walk that walk uncompromised. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Do not let... I don't want to move too fast. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you honor your husband. No, you don't deserve to be honored. I didn't say you deserve to be honored. But just because he's your husband, you honor him and you don't humiliate him. You don't talk about him to all your friends and everyone at church. You don't talk bad about him. When he's with you, whether in public or in private, let him know that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You love him. You adore him. And you let him know what a great man he is. And that you're thankful he's the fearless leader of that house. And you give him honor and you build him up. And anytime he leaves that house, knowing he is somebody because you told him he was. Amen? You honor him. Glory to God. We'll have to get what that joke was about. Amen. Don't let your leadership of the ministry distort your position at home. Let me say that again. Don't let your leadership in the ministry distort your position at home. I'm the senior pastor of our church. I make the final decisions at our church, but I am not the head of our house. Bill Gaines is the head of the house, and Bill recognizes he's the head of the house, and he takes that leadership very strongly and fearlessly. And he also knows I'm the head of the church, and he understands that, and he honors me in the church. Amen? You being called into the ministry, and if your husband is not, you may or probably will get revelation before him because you have to teach it. But you're not more spiritual than him. It has everything to do with your office. You know, when we started out and revelation of prosperity and how you get into prosperity begin to come forth, I was getting it quicker than Bill was getting it. But God was preparing me to, yes, live it, but to also teach it. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't very nice about it. I know what's wrong with him. That unspiritual thing. You realize how prosperous God wants us, and if we're going to get there, we're going to sow and sow dramatically. And you know, I had this arrogance and this pride because of this revelation that I was getting. I'll say a little bit more about that here in a second. If he's not called into the ministry, he doesn't require as much prayer time or word time as you do. Amen? And because it requires more prayer time and word time for you, doesn't make you more spiritual than him. You just have other things that you need to cover. Just because he's your husband, it doesn't mean he's called to preach or teach. You know, we finally have come to understand that not all women in the charismatic realm, not all wives are called to preach and teach just because the husband is. Not everyone's a Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Amen? Not everyone is a Creflo and Taffy Dollar. People got to recognize their areas of ministry. And the same is true where a husband is concerned. Just because the woman's called to preach, to teach, does not mean that the husband is. And you got to give him that liberty. God called me out on all this one time. He asked me the question, who really is more spiritual? Because Bill didn't seem to need the prayer time and word time that I needed. He wasn't teaching under this amazing anointing, the very truths of God. But yet I'd watch the results he was getting. Now in the church, I was struggling. But man, he was blowing it out in prosperity. And basically the Lord said, look at him. He don't require as much prayer time and word time as you. I've not called him to teach, and yet he seems to be getting greater results than you're getting. It's either quiet because I'm preaching at you, or you ain't got it. Amen. Or you can't believe, that's what it is. You couldn't believe Pastor Sherry ever went there, did you? Are you hearing me, child of God? Amen. And so we come into that place where we understand our roles. Hallelujah. Come into agreement with your husband where he's at. Let me say it again. Come into agreement with your husband where he's at. If he's a disciple of the Lord and he is progressing and he's moving forward in his walk with God, if he's not a flake, if he's not in rebellion, if he's a disciple of God, come into agreement with where he's at in the Word. You will get more results in your house than if you're fighting him or looking down your nose at him thinking you're more spiritual. You're not. Hallelujah. Is this making sense to you? Are we okay? Amen. All right, I'm going to take it a step further. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 7. Glory. And verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Oh, she didn't go there. And likewise also the husband hath no power of his own body, but the wife. I'm just taking the nuggets that God brought up in my heart to deliver to you this afternoon. Amen. There's a whole lot of areas that we could have covered, but these are the things he told me to cover under my assignment. Defraud you not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. How did I say that, Pastor? Incontinency. Amen. And let me read verse 5 in another translation. Do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer. But afterwards, resume marital relations, lest Satan tempt you to sin through your lack of restraint of sexual desire. That's how I know how to say it. Amen? In other words, don't get so spiritual that you're not intimate. Oh, it got real quiet in here now. I've watched it time and time again. That women just get so spiritual that they not dare tamper too much with that intimacy with their husband. In fact, intimacy should be at its best and the most satisfying in Christian marriages. Let me read verses 2 through 6 in the Message. Certainly, but only within a certain context, it's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. Say fulfilling. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife, and the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it. You're not called to a perpetual fast. And if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times, then I come to realize that God may still call us to a time of fasting and prayer, but if it's not a mutual consent, then we may still have intimacy during that time. Then come back together again. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. I'm not understand commanding these periods of abstinence, only providing my best counsel if you should choose them. Let me say this. Perhaps the more spiritual you become, then perhaps the better in intimacy you should be. Just saying. Intimacy is a spiritual act. It's that covenant between a husband and wife. It is their communion. Are you hearing me? And so, child of God, being a woman called into ministry, fulfilling the responsibilities of the minister, does not exempt you from being that giving and that loving and that nurturing and that satisfying wife. Your growth in the word, your growth in the anointing should only enhance that and make it better. It should never take away from it. Are you hearing me? God adds to. Say he adds to. Hallelujah. You might say, wow, this is way too much. This is way overwhelming. You're talking about being a wife, talking about being a mother, talking about full-time ministry, and then talking about SEX too. How could we do that? Rise up, women of faith. Amen. Romans 4, I know you know it, but set your eyes on it. And verse 16, say glory when you're there. He says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Understand, grace is God's ability to do something, not God's ability to do nothing. I know there's a teaching out there on grace, and because of the grace of God, I think you're exempt from doing anything. But grace on your life is God's ability on your life to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You are living this life of faith so that you can step into the grace to do all that God has called you to do. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. Say good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When God called you as a mother, it then became your responsibility to have good stewardship in the ability of God as a mother. When God called you as a wife, I actually got that turned around. Wife comes first. When God called you as a wife, God requires you to be a good steward of that grace as a wife. And when God called you into the ministry, he requires you to be a good steward of the grace that he's provided for that ministry. This is why we're living the life of faith. We get a word from God pertaining these roles in our life. And that word then has brought faith. And we put it in our mouth and we put corresponding action to it. And that steps us right on to the grace of God, to where we can do it by his ability and not do it shabby. That we can be the best wives, the best moms, the best ministers, that we can operate in excellence in every area of our life because of the grace of God Grace isn't for shabbiness. Grace is for excellence. Amen? Hallelujah. And of course, all of this works because of your relationship with God, your relationship with the Word, that you're seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness, knowing all this will be added unto you. Hallelujah. One more area I want to take you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Your ministry is not dependent on man, and your ministry is not dependent on family. Now, I'm not talking about not being under covering. Now, if you're not connected with your pastor, if you're not hearing and doing what he's teaching you from behind that pulpit, if he can't put that covering on you and lead you, I'm not talking to you. But I'm talking about what God has told you to do. And primarily, I'm talking about the finances, the resources, the things that it's going to take for you to fulfill your ministry. It is not dependent upon man, and it is not dependent upon your family. Now, you got to understand, Bill and I are big givers. And we give into Grace Fellowship of Louisville. But we give bigger outside of Grace Fellowship of Louisville, and we give out of the ministry into other ministries. Are you hearing me? 2 Corinthians 9, are you there? And verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace," there's that word again, say grace, "abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Now I want to read verse 8 in the Amplified. "And God's able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." Like I said, Bill and I, we give into Grace Fellowship of Louisville. And we there's things that we take care of. But Bill Gaines is not my financier where Grace Fellowship of Louisville is concerned. God gives seed to the sower, and I take that seed that he gives to the ministry, and I sow that seed, and that seed provides for the ministry. Are you hearing me, child of God? Now, I'm just throwing this out here, and these other ministries that are represented here, I mean, this is peanuts compared to them. But Grace Fellowship has a rough budget of about $5,000 a month. We average about 30 people, that includes the children, on Sunday morning. That's the budget without any extras. And we do lots of extras. But the bills are paid every month, and that includes me getting paid. And this is done by a woman, pastor, believing in God. Are you hearing me, child of God? It's time for the women to rise and shine. See, we get the best of everything. We get to be the wife. We get to be the mom. We get to be in ministry. We still get to wear high heels, earrings, and lipstick. We get to operate in prosperity and health. We get it all. Now see, in the world, the women out there, if they choose a career path, we understand we're not choosing a career path. They got to let go of something. whether it be their femininity, whether it be their motherhood, or whether it be a great wife, they got to give up something. But not women in the kingdom. We get to have it all. In the kingdom, through his word, we are the most liberated women in the world. What I wanted to get across to you as women of God is you have no limitations. You don't have to trade one off for the other. You get to have the best world as a wife, the best world as a mother, the best world in ministry, the best of all that God has called you to, and enjoy it all. Just be the woman of faith that you are. Grow in your relationship with God. Stay plugged in to your church with your pastor and watch God do the most amazing things through you. Amen. Hallelujah.